Jesus. Jesus. Just hear the word of the Lord as He speaks over us this morning. My church, my precious, precious bride, whom I paid the ultimate price, whom I gave my life for, will you grow up? Will you grow up to the things that I have for you? Will you stop drinking milk? Will you stop messing around? But will you grow up? Grow up, because I've called you to be a mighty generation. But you need to grow up. Stop being like little children. Stop being childish. Stop acting like children, but grow up. Be men and women that I have called you to be. Grow up. Grow up. It is time for you to take hold of the things that I have for you and stop messing around, but to grow up. Grow up. Grow up. Grow up. And become the mighty men and women of valor that I paid the price for on the cross. We are not messing around. I have called you for so much more. But you need to grow up. You, Jesus, Lord, that we would posture our hearts this morning, even in this, the weight of that word. That, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. And we would grow up, we would respond to you, Jesus, because you are bringing us into a place of maturity. No longer children, tossed around. No longer children, sucking on milk bottles. No longer, but men and women who will be able to run victoriously, extend the kingdom of God without any issues, without any challenges, without any speed bumps, but mature, mature individuals, irrespective of our age, irrespective of our standing, irrespective of our knowledge or our wisdom or anything, but we would be walking in that which the Lord has for us because we are men and women who are those that are obedient, who are obedient. And this morning, even as we were praying, that word came through about intimacy. And you know what? We can only truly be intimate with the Father, truly when we mature. I mean, let's look at it. A child, our little children, they're immature, they're childish. There's not real intimacy there. It's we love them, and they love us. There's affection, but there's no real intimacy. As that word came in the prayer time this morning, I was just even reminded of my relationship with my own children. And over the last 19 years, I have a 20-year-old son. He's almost 20. And the intimacy that him and I have now was not there when he was 13, was not there when he was 9, was not there when he was 5. But it's there now because there's a maturity that has come about in him and in our relationship. And now we are very close. He will hug me and grip me and hold me and weep when he sees me, because he loves me. And as a young man, as a young boy even, he would come and grab me and laugh and tickle, and we'd have fun in that. But I tell you, now there's an intimacy that him and I have as a mature young man that wasn't there as a boy. And it's the same like that with the Father. It's the same like that with our Father. And that's his heart for us. The last few weeks we've been picking up on the heart of the Father for us as his people. His heart for us, our heart, the way we need to respond and posture our hearts towards him. And the dreams that he has for us. But the biggest dream, I believe, and the biggest heart that the Father has for us is that he would see us walking in maturity. In maturity. In maturity. And so I use that, and I'm going to use some strong language this morning that might offend you. I'm not going to make an apology for that, because when the Lord speaks, we need to be responding. And church, I have carried this word this week, and it felt, actually, I didn't want to even speak this morning. I thought, I can't do it, Lord. And he said, no, you speak. You share. Because it's not you, Chad, it's me. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says this from verse 12. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you still need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the faith. You need milk, not solid food. Yes, the writer, and I think it's Paul. We think it's Paul. We're not 100% sure. But he's going to the church and he's saying, by now you ought to be teachers. And as I read that, I saw the Lord saying to us, by now, some of you ought to be community leaders. Some of you now should be worship leaders. Some of you should be elders. Some of you should be deacons in this church. But you're still like babies. You are still acting like children. Harsh language. Offensive, maybe. Some of us are still childish. So, so childish. Bless you. Some of you should be community. Some of you should be elders with us, leading, teaching, but you're still children. Why? What's up with that? Sure. You guys can wind down. He said, just let it sink into your hearts for a moment. Some of us are still stuck on the elementary teachings, the basics, the foundations of our faith. You're still grappling with just even faithfulness of coming to church regularly. Always having us blaming a snotty nose or blaming an ailment of sorts or whatever it might be. But we're stuck in this place of immaturity. We're like children. And so the best way for us to understand something that we should be, what maturity looks like, let's look at what it isn't, rather. What does immature behavior look like? Sorry, I just need to blow my nose. What does childish behavior look like? What does immaturity look like? Because when we see what immaturity looks like, we might be able to see what maturity should look like. And so, firstly, excessive emotional responses. The inability to control your emotions or to manage your emotions. Little children having tantrums, throwing, come on, parents, we deal with that. Yeah, you guys can wind down, you can sit down. But isn't that true? An inability to manage your own emotions? That's a sign of immaturity. An inability to recognize what you're feeling. I've often, with our children, you get to me, I don't know why I'm crying, Daddy. I don't know why. That's a sign of immaturity. I don't know why I don't want to go to church. I don't know why I don't want to pray. I don't know why I don't want to read the Bible. It's a sign of immaturity. Why are you telling us we have to go to church, right? Like, how dare he tell us that? Emotional response of like, how dare he say that to me? Immaturity. Impulsive behavior. Just doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. Aren't children like, I'm like, this. Just picture your children growing up. This is how they behave. Egocentric. It's all about me. How I feel. Arrogance, pride, rather than about God and other people. It's all about me, not being interested in other people. Have you ever met someone like that when you have a bride and all they ever do is talk about themselves and they never ask a question once about you? They're never interested for the slightest moment about you. All they're worried about is telling you about themselves and what they've done. Hey? Immature behavior. And this is not all out the Bible. Some of this comes out of psychological journals kind of thing. This is like what the world is saying as well. So if the world recognizes these behavior patterns as childish behavior, how much more should the standard be for us as believers? Your inability to handle criticism. So when someone challenges you on something, you defend yourself. No, this is the position you take. Immature, childish behavior. As I was saying, I hope the penny's dropping, and I'm using strong, and I might be offending you, but I want to do that this morning because the penny needs to drop. We need to just grasp this because God, the word that I brought, that I hadn't planned, that prophetic word that I brought in the beginning, I didn't plan that. But there's something on the Lord wanting to grow us up, church. To grow us up. We talk about depth. God growing depth into us, not numbers. This is it. This is it. Defending ourselves. Ah, oh, but I was there. Oh, I've got all the reasons and excuses. That's exactly what children do. It's exactly what children do. I'm a dad of three. I've grown up. I've had 19 years of practice. That's quite a while. Some of us have got a lot longer of practice. Sure. Is this heavy? Is this too heavy, Dan? Is it good? Sorry. Now just, I'm okay here, guys. Just stop me if I'm going too heavy. Inability to delay gratification. It's all about the rush now. You know what? Guys struggling with lust, girls struggling with lust, instant gratification. It's all about now. Young relationships. Let's just sleep together now because we feel good. Wait, we don't need to wait till we're married. It's immature behavior. You can see how by looking at what immature behavior, suddenly we start looking at our lives and we start going, man. And I tell you what, every single one of us, and myself included, have an immature trait in us. Not one of us can sit here going, I'm mature, because then you are immature. And it's got nothing to do with age. It's got nothing to do with your intellect or your knowledge or your understanding or your revelation of the Bible. You can be the most cleverest person in this room, yet you can be the most immature. You can be the youngest, most uneducated, and be the most mature. It's irrespective of age. It's irrespective. Well, John Piper says, the pathway to maturity is all about obedience. It's got nothing to do with intellect. It's got nothing to do with even your understanding of the word. And that is important. But if that's all you base it on, then it's more about applying the word to your life. So why do we need to mature? Well, I think first and foremostly, like I said, it's for intimacy. It's for intimacy. It's to fulfill God's purpose in bringing Him glory and living a life of obedience. That is one of the main reasons we need to mature, is because the Lord desires intimacy with us. The Father's heart is to see His children walking in everything. He so desperately desires intimacy with us. He doesn't need it, but He wants it. He wants intimacy. And again, if I look at the example of my children and how I have walked a journey with them as a dad, we were not, I mean, yes, I was affectionate, there was affection, there was love, but the intimacy, that this closeness and understanding of each other only happens as they get older. I can read the scripture. 1 Corinthians, verse 10, says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So whatever we do, our purpose, the reason we need to mature is to bring glory for God. Whatever we do is to bring glory to the Father. First Peter 2, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable so that when they speak against you as evildoers, that they may see your good and deeds and glorify God. Glorify God. The main aim of maturity is to bring glory to God, to bring glory to Him, to become more like Him. To become more like Him. Romans says this, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, to become more like Christ, to bear fruit. I love gardening. I love my plants. I love my flowers. I love my fruit trees. And I tell you what, those fruit trees, I've got a fig tree that I planted, I think, a year ago. I'm not going to go to the other fig tree because that one's quite big. And finally, it's bearing fruit. It bore fruit for the first time decently last year. Not many, though. But that tree, in its immature state, is going to bear fruit, but those fruit aren't going to be nice. I need to fertilize that tree. I need to water it. I need to look after it until it starts to bear fruit. I think more so even I've got some proteas. I love flowers. I love plants. Some guys are like, what do you like plants? I love plants. And I heard there's a gentleman here that's got a wildflower farm or something. I think it's you, yeah, correct, sir? I heard that you enjoy farming with plants, flowers, eh? I love that because when I watch my proteas grow, the first 2 years or so, they're sitting small. There's no buds on them. And now this year, my one pincushion bush has got these buds, and I'm like, I can't wait for them to open. They're going to open. My garden's going to be spectacular. And next year, it's going to be better. The tree, as it's maturing, as those roots have got deep into the soil, as it's getting the nutrients, as I've been watering, it's taken some time for those roots to spread. And now it's starting to bear these beautiful flowers. That is why we need to mature, so we can bear these flowers that look attractive, and I can stand back in my garden and go, man, look at that. Look at that. Why else do we need to become mature so that we can serve and love the body and disciple others and we can build unity of faith? We're called to serve one another, and immature responses, someone else can do it. Someone else can do it. And I want to commend this church. I tell you the way the community came this morning early. They met a little bit early, and I just want to commend the guys. I can tell you, it was like a hive of activity here at 8 o'clock, 5 to 8. There was stuff happening. Guys were serving. They were getting the tea and coffee ready. Every single one of that was contributing. They were sweeping the leaves away just because of the wind that we had had. Even now, Dan mentioned that we're starting to make this area look nice, and we've got a whole bunch of guys that are sticking up their hands saying, I'll hang the sound bafflers, whatever you call those sound panels. We realized there was a leak in the one room. I'll get there. I'll fix it up for you guys. Quick to serve. Quick to jump in and help out. Hey, we need some guys on worship, or we need some helpers in our youth and our kids' church. Quick to serve. Tell you what, a mature person sees the needs and he meets them. An immature person sits there and expects everyone to serve him. Let's get a little bit higher grade now. Because I think, what about the ability, the reason we need to mature is that we can discern good and bad doctrine, between good and bad doctrine. And I've realized that some of us are immature, that when we get exposed to bad doctrine, we don't even see it. And we go, yeah, that's, and it's 1 degree out. Can you pick out something when it's 1 degree out? I don't think many of us can. I actually was, recently I was somewhere, I can't remember where, we were in a situation where there was a group discussion going on, and someone said something, and it felt like it was good. Felt like there was, but it was actually just 1 degree off. Are we those kind of people that have been able to discern when someone speaks, there's something off there? That like, and then you go to the Bible and say, no, they totally misquoted scripture. They totally used it out of context. Like, we need to be able to discern. I'm reminded of Colossians, where it says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of this world, not according to Christ. Beware, it says as well, it says in Titus, we must hold firm to the trustworthy word that is taught, so that we will be able to give an instruction in sound doctrine and to rebuke those who contradict it. So as much as maturity is for us to glorify God, for us to build intimacy and to bear fruit and to love one another, to serve one another in the body, but it's also that we can know when someone's preaching something skiff, when we're going through the podcast and suddenly, oh, there's so-and-so on the podcast, and we go, oh, he's such an amazing preacher, and you listen to it and you can't even pick up. I listened to something the other day, and I tell you, I've had to fine-tune my senses to go, it sounds good, but there's also something off. Even recently, Nikki was reading a book. It's a great book. It's a wonderful book. I'm not going to mention them, but she said, babes, there's something about, like, all the principles are great, but there's just something I can't put my finger on. And so when we bounced it off one of the other guys, he was able to point it out to us, and it was like, ah, there it is there. And so even in that, we're learning. We need to be discerning. We need to be discerning. I even realized, most of us, I'm sure, how many of us watched the opening ceremony this last Friday night with the Olympic Games? And there was that one scene that everyone now is like going, what the heck was that about? I tell you, in the moment, I was so confused. All I saw were these drag queens. I didn't even see what they were actually depicting. But they were making a mockery of the Last Supper, Leonardo da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper kind of thing. And they were making a mockery of the scene. And I didn't even pick it up in the moment. But then other people, I was like, yo, I didn't see that one. Like, are we discerning? Are we discerning that when we see something, we're able to turn it off and go, actually, you know what? No good. Or what are we listening to? Are we able to switch it off and say, no, that he's missing the mark? It's higher grade. This is a bit higher grade. How about this one? We're willing to always learn. That is the point of maturity, is that we are willing to always be learning. Always be learning. Never stuck in the past. Never stuck in the, back in the day when it was like this. Back in then. Otherwise, we become a little bit like Lot's wife, where we're longing for the past. Or the Israelites, who had received all this incredible blessing, but they just wanted to go back to Israel, to Egypt. It's a bit of immature behavior. Response is, we just know what's safe. We know what's safe. We want to go back. And then we look back, oh, remember then. And we can't go forward. Philippians 3 says this, not that I've already obtained all this. So here is the writer saying, even himself, he says, even though, not that I've already obtained this, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are immature think this way. Sorry. You're awake, eh? Let those of us who are mature think this way. Ah, you're listening. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. We can't get stuck in the past. We can't get stuck in the... We've got to move forward. We've got to move on. We've got to be able to embrace what Jesus is doing now. We can't go, oh, but back then we had incredible times of worship and the Holy Spirit moved. Yes, he did. And he moved for that season and that point of time. But I tell you what, unless we get fresh manna today, that manna is going to have mildew on it. And it's going to be stale. It's going to be fraught. Those quail are going to... are going to make you sick. Heinz had to upset the stomach the last while. And Michelle, I think, Shave, you guys have been man down. Not you. Just him. Man down. I don't think it was something you ate, but you can imagine eating something that's not good for you. Shame. Roy and Dawn were recently in Turkey. I know she won't mind, but she had some baklava. And the guy told her, don't worry, it's okay. There are no nuts in it. And she's allergic to nuts. There were nuts in it. And she was out for 2 or 3 days. We can't get stuck on the old stuff. We can't get stuck on the stuff that's going to make us sick. Old stuff's going to make us. I've met people over the years that have got incredible callings on their lives, incredible anointing, but it's like the when-wees. When we, or when I was a young warthog, kind of thing, you know, when I was a young boy. Don't get stuck in the past. You can reflect. It's good to have moments and go, yeah, that was a great season. But if you're stuck there, that's the problem. It's good to have those markers when we get, man, God did incredible things there. But if all we're going, oh, God used to do incredible things there. Why is he not doing things now? Or, yes, I remember that season. That was amazing. And my love, if our love for God is not stronger, more passionate now, more than it was then, we are still immature. Your love and your passion for Jesus now needs to be more than what it was when you first got saved. I love hearing Colin's story of how he got saved. And then many other guys have got these incredible encounters with Jesus. Who can just say, I had an incredible encounter when I met Jesus? Anyone? Let's see by show of hands. A lot of you guys. Tell you what, if you're stuck just in that encounter and you're not more passionate about Jesus now than when he saved you, there's something wrong. You are immature. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Okay. Can we grow up? Are you ready to grow up with me? Church, are you ready to grow up? Thank you, Dan. Thank you to the few of you. Are you ready to grow up? Do you want to grow up? Now, answer me this question carefully. Do you want to grow up? You need to make a decision, firstly. It's like an addict. The first step of recovery is admitting that you have a problem. Can we admit that we have a problem? That some of us don't want to grow up. Some of us are quite comfortable with, is this okay? It feels like it's hard. It feels like it's hard, but I feel like I'm going to knock that door down because God has called us for more. He really has. And I'm sorry if you're new and this is your first time and maybe you don't even know Jesus. Like, you know these oaks are wuss. Mark, you're thinking, you know these oaks are hectic. That oak's wuss, young. No, you know what? Because Christians are historically flaky. Actually, maybe not. Historically, in the last maybe 100 years. But historically, before that, they would die for their faith. How many of us would die for our faith? And we can't even get you to church on Sunday. No, honestly. Some of us, we can't even get you regularly on a Sunday. We can't even get you to community on a Wednesday night. You think, you know what? It's hard. Of course it's hard, man. No one said it would be easy. Jesus didn't, like he went to the cross. Do you think that was easy for him to die on a cross for our sins? I don't think so. He was nailed through the funny bone, that nerve runs down there. He was nailed through that. You can imagine. All of us have knocked our funny bone at some time and the excruciating pain that we experienced in that moment. Do you think that was fun for Jesus? I don't think so. He died for us. You know, I love that there was all the memes going past and all these things on Facebook about the mockery. And you know what? He was mocked on that cross. Actually, what they're doing now is incomparable to what really happened to him 2,000 years ago. A mockery was made of him, and nothing ever will be able to mock him again because he's no longer on that cross. He's alive, and he rules and he reigns. Come on. Come on. Jesus lives. And he's here to save us. He's here to set us free. The chains that he wants to break, maybe those chains are not so much your circumstances or whatever. It's actually the choices you've made to be stuck here as an immature child. Childish. Childish. Oh, I'm using strong language. This whole row looks scary. Am I right, Perry? Renee. Sorry. I'm just not going, looking at faces going, yo, Chad, I don't think I've ever heard you be this strong. You know what, church? The word of the Lord was, we need to grow up. No longer immature children. And you know why? If I look at the scripture in Ephesians, let's put that scripture in Ephesians up there. I'm just diverging before we go into how we mature. Ephesians 4. Rather speaking the truth in love, I love you guys. You know I love you. I'm a dad. I'm a pastor. That is my heart. I got told this week, actually, Chad, you're too nice sometimes. What? You're too pastoral. That's your pastoral heart. That, like, every church I go and visit, I want to stay there. I want to stay in Malawi. I want to stay in Hoedspruit because I love so, so deeply. But you guys are my first love. Like, after Jesus. After Jesus. Okay. Second love. No. My wife's in the boat. She's not more important than you. My wife's not more important than you. She's part of you. And so many people think I must put my wife and my children above the church. Where does it say that in the Bible? Jesus says, you will leave your mother and father. You will hate them. Like, it's extreme language. I love you guys as much as I love my wife. Because she's part of you. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. I think you've gone a bit late. Can we go back further? Did I give you... that one about being tossed by waves, that the point of why we need to grow up. Did you just get that one? Help me out quickly. Let me just find it in my notes. Anyway, it's that scripture in Ephesians where it says you need to grow up because if, as little children, we've been tossed to and fro. Tossed to and fro. Where's that scripture? Find it for me. So my glasses are at home and the notes are quite small. The printer... Okay, go back one. Can we go back one verse? 14. And then let's have Ephesians 4:13, 14, 15. Well, it's 13, 14, 15 because it stems from verse 12, which is about the fivefold gifts to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. How do we all know it so well? Come on, who can quote it above verbatim? Read it, Nikki.
To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming.
Can I sit down? Because there it is there. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro. We can't be like that anymore. We need to grow up. We can't be freaked out because we get asked why we miss church. And we shouldn't be missing the gathering of the saints anyway. Like, this is not a club. This is not something we do because we've got nothing better to do on a Sunday. We don't equip ourselves on a Saturday morning for 4 hours because we've got nothing better to do with our Saturday. We don't fellowship on a Wednesday night and worship on a Saturday night in somebody's home because we're bored and there's nothing on TV. Honestly, we need to change. We need to change from the inside out. That if you love Jesus, if you are asking and trusting him to make you more into his image, and if you are trusting him to take you from this place of immaturity to maturity, we need to grow up and we need to change some things. We need to make a choice. We need to make a choice. Maturity requires intentionality. We need to decide to pursue spiritual growth. Beyond just teachings and the basic teachings, but we need to grab hold of things that are deeper than what we can understand sometimes. We need to stretch ourselves. Some of us go to gym to grow those muscles. Like a cord. We'll spend hours in the gym. We'll spend hours in the trails running and cycling to get strong and to get fit. But we'll spend 5 minutes in the Word. And we won't even come to church maybe once a month. I hope I'm speaking to your heart, because I know there are people sitting here and I'm speaking straight into your circumstances, into your situation. And if it offends you, well, I'm not sorry, because this is the Word of God. We need to be disciplined. That is the thing with our society, is that we lack discipline. It's more and more evident that people today lack discipline. We can't even see things through. This is how we can mature, by developing a discipline. If we can be disciplined in going to the gym, if we can be disciplined in going to piano lessons or to singing lessons, if we can be disciplined in going to school, we can be disciplined in going to work, why can we not be disciplined in giving time to the Lord and coming together as a priesthood? Regular, faithful. I just read the Bible when I have an urge. I pray when I've got a request. Church, this is not Chad speaking. Because honestly, I didn't want to have to share this morning. How am I doing for time? I'm running out of time, Dan. Being part of the church, part of growth has been part of a body. Being part of a body, coming to church, coming regularly, being accountable, being submitted. That, you know, sometimes the only way to grow is for someone to tell you that area. Because we have blind spots. We don't always know. We're not always aware of things. And that's why we have each other. And we could come alongside each other and say, man, I noticed the other day in a meeting you just said something there. Are you all right? Like, is that what you... And no. And I go, no, but... And we go, oh. And then the way we receive it is so important. We need to stay humble. Because even now you might be sitting here and going, who do you think you are telling me I need to change? Telling you now? That ego, me on the throne of my life, rearing its head, just goes to the fact that there's an immature area in your life. Maturity is really characterized by humility and patience. We're going to face many trials. We're going to face many things. But unless we have developed a maturity in our hearts and we've grown up. And for each and every one of us, it may look different. Yes, I'm with it. Some of us grow quicker than others. Why are some apples on the tree bigger than others? I don't know. I'm going to ask God one day, why did he not have fruit trees and all the fruit looking beautiful? It's okay that you might not have the greatest voice, but I tell you what, it's not about the outward external. You know that thing on those fruits on the tree? I've been in the orchards, and they're picking the export fruit from the same tree that they're picking the local fruit. It still tastes the same. It just looks differently. There might just be a blotch or a nick on the outside, so they don't export that fruit. But it still tastes exactly like the export fruit. Isn't that incredible? Same tree, just looks a little different. Maybe it got nicked by the branch, or there was a heavy hailstorm, and there was a bit of damage. But it's the same tree. Inward, the hearts all need to be the same. I'm not expecting us to be robots and all of us walking in the same line and everyone clicking their heels and one click, you know, the German precision. No one's asking of that. I don't believe the Lord was asking, but he was asking for a posture of our hearts. And so this morning, church, I believe there is a response that needs to come from us to the Lord. And I hope you've been challenged. I've been challenged this whole week. Like I said, I didn't want to bring this word. I really didn't. And I really felt that maybe, Trev, you and... Okay, Jen, you're thinking of the toilet quick. Go. I'll wait for you. Sorry. That's what happens when you're in family, eh? Family notices everything. Can I say that? You often think, yeah, we've got checks and balances here. We like watching and we're keeping an eye. You know, that's because we're family and because we love each other. I went to a couple, and I don't want to embarrass them this morning, but, you know, I just said it's so good to see you this morning because I prayed that you'd be here this morning. I really did. There's a couple of you guys here this morning that I prayed that you would be here this morning. I don't want to name you, but I prayed by name last night that you would be here. Because you've been MIA, missing in action, AWOL, no longer. You can't, you know what, you're going to scrape into heaven and you're going to smell like a furnace. I think it's my heart as a father, and I know it's the heart of a father, would see each and every one of you walking in fullness because it brings glory to him and that you have an intimate relationship with him. That it's not just a duty, it's not just a chore, it's not just a box ticked, you know, check, done, going to church on Sunday. I'll see you next week, guys. We're a family, man. We're a family. We're the family of God. And I've watched some of you guys being added into this family, but slowly but surely, but I can see the change in your lives. And I've watched Clyde and Rowena, how they've given themselves to Jesus and to this family and how God has changed them, brought them through. Testimony, God's goodness and faithfulness. It's also a testimony of his obedience. And he may slip up and he may fall, but his heart is, yeah. And that's okay. I've watched some of you just come and give your hearts over to the Lord, just grow and hunger and desire to grow in him, to just absorb whatever it is the Lord's doing. And I've watched you grow. But I've also watched some of you just staying where you're at, and it breaks my heart. And you know, if it breaks my heart, I know it breaks the Father's heart even more so. Because he has cried, he has wept over you, over and over and over you. And it's not because you might be the most gifted, whatever. It's because you are his son and his daughter, first and foremostly, most importantly, his son, his daughter, and he loves you. And he wants intimacy with you.